Hey, it's Scott Petrek with another episode of the Brown Zone Zone Coverage Podcast. We planned a rare second edition this week, but didn't know we'd be talking about this. Deshaun Watson done for the season with a broken bone in his throwing shoulder. The news was shocking and the fallout enormous. Here to discuss, as always, is Dave Chudowski of Go, the WKYC Morning News. How's it going, Chud?
Scott, we knew on Monday we needed to tape a second version heading into the Steelers game. We just didn't know exactly why, like you said. I mean, we just had a gut feeling, right, that it would probably be smart to give the Steelers its own due. But now it's not just talking about the Steelers game. We've got to talk about what I call a gut punch. That's what I called it on the air the other morning. I was still in the office. You know, I work an interesting shift, as you know, in the morning. And I was working on another story that wasn't sports related, and that news came down, and I ended up going on the set and tossing live to Andrew Berry's press conference. So it was like living the old days, getting back in the sports scene. And I said on the air, this is a gut punch. And the way I think the bigger reason why I felt that is you're just coming off of a game, and we talked about this, where you finally saw what it could possibly be like, and then it's just ripped away from you.
Yeah, exactly. That's certainly part of it, Chud. And it's funny. I do this newsletter the day before games and the day after games. You know, it's like four stories, and, you know, it gets emailed in everybody's inbox the next morning. But I did one Wednesday because the news was, or Thursday morning because the news Wednesday had been so big. And my headline was a punch in the gut. So we were on the same page there. But yeah, it's not only that it's your $230 million quarterback. It's he's finally started to play well, and you're coming off a signature win. I don't know when it's the biggest win since, you know, probably 2020 would be my guess, if, you know, my thought. So you had all this momentum. I was convinced they were going to the playoffs, and we'll get into if they can still get there. But they're 6-3. I was convinced they would go to the playoffs, and I didn't think it was outlandish to think that they could win games in the playoffs. That's how well I thought this team was playing, how talented I think it is. But you need, theoretically, right, a big-time quarterback, and Watson was starting to play like that. So all of that combined is why I think it's so difficult for fans to absorb.
Yeah, remember on the podcast on Monday, I said I was listening to a radio show in town where they were trying to figure out where they would possibly lose a game.
Yeah, right.
Remember?
Right,
and we're like, and you know, that's obviously that's part of why you can't play the schedule game really too much, because you just never know. The NFL, man, it just changes week to week. And, you know, that's the thing. And it's a bummer. And we will get into that, because that is a great discussion to have. Can they still make the playoffs and how will they do? But let's just go back and how did this happen, Scott? I mean, we did not see this coming. Usually when things like this happen, whether it's national or local media, you know, you get some wind of it and it's not a complete shock. This is one of the few times it came out of nowhere. And by that, we knew that he was banged up, but we thought it was the ankle. Like, we did not see this coming.
No, we did not. And the Browns did a good job keeping it under wraps. I you know, we know that Watson fought to keep playing. So if that's the case, then obviously you don't want it out there that, you know, he's got a broken bone in his shoulder, in his throwing shoulder. That's
good
probably
point.
Right. That's probably part of the reason it remained a secret. You know, there wasn't one obvious hit that he took. Like, I'm in the press box, so you got a million things going on, right? You're writing and tweeting and taking notes. But everybody watched it on TV too. So there wasn't one play that you're like, oh my gosh, that's the play. Now you can go back and look and go, maybe it was that. Obviously the fact that he finished the game, there's no red flags. Like, you see him get up from the ankle, but, you know, I never saw him like favoring the shoulder. So, you know, I think that's part of it. He doesn't tell anybody with the Browns until at some point after the game is what it sounds like. You know, DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who's going to take over quarterback, said he had no idea until Tuesday, you know, and they're in the same room and they text and all that stuff. So I'm sure it was something where Watson was hoping it wasn't that bad and he could play through it. And, you know, he's had the issues with the shoulder, so maybe he thought they were connected, you know, all those things. you know, the Browns insist they're not connected. But yeah, but that is part of it, right? Because, you know, we knew he had the ankle. You're waiting for the MRI results. There was nothing coming late, you know, Monday afternoon. I thought there might be nothing coming Tuesday. And I didn't know how to read that, right? So I went into Wednesday morning, and this wound up coming out by 9 o'clock Wednesday. But as I'm thinking about Tuesday night, okay, what are we going to get with Watson? I figured if you're completely healthy, we would have known that, right? Like if they said, oh, it's a low ankle sprain, he'll be fine. We would have known that. So I kind of expected something, but I certainly did not expect done for the season with a shoulder surgery.
Yeah. Do you think fans have new respect for him, though, with everyone talking about how tough he is and knowing that he gutted that out in the second half and took them to a victory playing hurt?
Yeah, I think so. And he's such a difficult guy, right? He's so polarizing. And, you know, people that hate him, hate him. But I think if you take all the off-the-field stuff out of it, right, if that's even possible, there is something to be said for his toughness. And the way he finished that game, right, the 14 for 14, bad shoulder, bad ankle, that says something. And if you're trying to cling to some hope, it's that this is a guy that, you know, the Browns believe will come back fully healthy next year and theoretically pick up, you know, pick up where he left off and build off this. I do think it's, you know, to your point, Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, said yesterday when he was talking about it, he said he was in the training room with him at halftime and it was rough. He's going through the, you know, he didn't specify if it was more than the ankle, but he was going through the ankle and you can see how tough this guy is and he plays through the shoulder. And he said, it's asinine that people questioned whether or not he wanted to play through that initial shoulder injury. And I think there's some validity there, right? There weren't any real public questions about it. It was more, you know, innuendo and fans and maybe some people on social media that were, you know, why isn't this guy playing, right? It doesn't seem that bad. He thought he was going to play, and then he winds up not playing, you know, the whole October 1st Ravens scenario. But if you're willing to play through the broken shoulder for 2.5 or 3.5 quarters, whatever it was, because Watson thought it was first quarter, but then the Browns kind of said second quarter. Anyway, more than a half with the broken shoulder, you'd probably play through a strain in the rotator cuff if you could.
Do you think this is completely a new injury? They say it's a new injury, right? I mean, they say it has nothing to do with the prior injury.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because that's what they say. They're like, the Browns are adamant that it's a new injury. Watson said he didn't know. And I use that in the story, but it was hard to tell if he just meant he doesn't know what's going on, right? Like, he's not a doctor. He doesn't know versus maybe he thinks they're connected. I know that people, you know, I remember Odell Beckham Jr., not that he's a doctor, right? But I remember him talking about his leg injuries in his series of leg injuries and how one led to another, right? So I know some people believe everything's connected. So, you know, I tend to just trust the Browns on this when they say that. And it feels like, well, you know, a muscle thing is different than a broken bone, right? So I understand, like, my initial thought is, yes, they're not related, but I don't know if I'd feel comfortable saying that 100% because they're all in the same little thing, right? The fist size shoulder, they're all in there.
Before we break it down, just give me a yes or no answer. That's it, because you can break it down in a second. Yes or no? Are you surprised they're going with DTR?
A little bit.
All right. Well, let me set it up. Okay. So if you go back to Andrew Berry talking, he had multiple opportunities from all of you in the room in Berea to basically say, hey, DTR, PJ Walker, I mean, we completely believe in them. Like, but I want to decode this a little bit and help everyone understand. He basically deflected everything by just saying, we believe in our room and we believe that it's a full team. But where he could have had the opportunity to say, hey, there's no doubt these guys can lead us. But they're like, Scott, there is no way he feels that way because it didn't come across that way.
Yeah, that's interesting, Chud. you know, a lot of that was in relation to why didn't you make a trade? Why did you trade Joshua Dobbs? And it was, oh, we believe in our room, we believe in our room. I think, and not to defend Barry, but part of that might be they're going to bring in another quarterback, right? So maybe you don't want to go too hard on it if, you know, I mean, the report this morning, I just was able to confirm it, they're working out Joe Flacco among a bunch of quarterbacks. I don't know how many quarterbacks. Among a quarterback workout today, Joe Flacco will be working out. So, you know, maybe they didn't know who they're going to bring in as that third guy. He don't want to oversell it. I don't know. But I think it's also, it's hard to go all in on DTR when we saw what he did in that first Ravens game, right? Now, he's the guy. They're supporting him. They think he can do, you know, they think he's going to be way better than he was in that first game. But I guess my sense on that whole, how Barry sounded was he was more defending himself from bringing in another quarterback, whether it was at the trade deadline, right? And then the original trade of Dobbs.
Yeah, okay. I hear you, but you know, I just didn't get a glaring confirmation that they think either of these guys, I mean, obviously they don't think it's PJ Walker because even though he won a few games, it kind of almost went and displayed him. But I don't know. It just,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it didn't come across like he just kept going back to, we love our team. Right. We love the room, you know,
right.
That's
right.
All.
Well, I mean, the reality is they benched both guys, right? I mean, they benched DTR after the Ravens start and now they're benching PJ Walker. They're right. I mean, you know, it's a little semantics, but
yeah,
they're really benching him, right? Because he turned it over six times in three games. And I also think part of that, Chud, is, okay, this is our situation at quarterback. But we have, you know, I'm talking I'm the Browns. We have the best defense in the NFL. We have really good special teams with a kicker who's kicking as well as anybody in the league. We have the number two ranked running game. So we're going to minimize quarterback, right? Like, I think that's just the reality of the situation. Yeah, we know, like, right, we're taking a huge blow at quarterback, but we can still win. And, you know, a side note, we have faith in our quarterback.
Yeah. I don't think we need to hit on Dobbs in the past anymore, do we? No. I mean, we've hit it in a couple podcasts, right? I mean, everyone, there's nothing. Unless there's anything you want to throw out there, time is valuable here this morning,
exactly.
Unless you want to.
I got one sentence. Yeah, so, they thought Deshaun Watson was completely healthy and therefore did not need to add insurance at quarterback. Now, we can argue if that was the right decision, and it looks, plenty of people argue it was the wrong decision, but that's why they didn't feel the need at the trade deadline to add a quarterback.
Right, right. All right, so do you have faith in the rookie here coming up against Pittsburgh Sunday?
I don't know. Chud, that's a $1 million question. And we talked to him, you know, taping this Friday morning. We talked to him Thursday, and there's plenty I like about him, right? Like, he's a smart kid. He's always, like, you know, in our dealings with him since they drafted him. An impressive kid, right? Lots of confidence. Like, I remember him saying, I think it was draft day, that he's going to take over for Deshaun Watson at some point, right? Like, I'm going to come in, I'm going to be a backup, and then at some point, I'm going to be the starter. Like, he's got a confidence about him. So I appreciate that in him. He's got a skill set, right? He throws it okay. Like, I don't think he throws it great. He's got some running ability. You know, he's probably not the athlete Deshaun Watson is, but he's got a combination of skills. But the Ravens get first Ravens game. And I get it, right? He was kind of thrown into the situation. Everybody thought Watson was going to start. And that's why the Browns believe this will be different, because he's got a whole week of preparation. But it was so bad. And I thought he made terrible decisions. You know, three interceptions. He tried to pitch as he's running down the field, like throw a lateral. He looked overwhelmed and overmatched. So how is that going to change, right? Like, I still need to see – you always talk about need to see it. Like, I need to see him be a different guy. And maybe the 6 weeks since that game is all the difference in the world. Maybe he really learned a lot. And some people do, right? You need the one time, and then time two, you're more comfortable. He's got the whole week to prepare. Like, all those things. I didn't get a great sense of where his head was. He said all the right things, but I'm going to need to see. You know, he talked about watching some of his games at UCLA to get that swagger back. Like, it feels like he's trying to get himself to this place where he's confident enough to go out there, and it's a really tough defense. So, yeah, I mean, I have big questions about it. Like, I don't think it's – like, I'm not convinced that he's going to be a failure at all. Like, I think there's a chance he goes out there and plays well. We saw what he did in the preseason, but I'm far from convinced he's going to play well.
Now, if I would have prepared to host one event and then at the last minute was told to host another, I wouldn't have done as well in the other event. I wouldn't have known what I was talking about if I was just thrown into it, right? Sure. Last time he started, you know, the Browns were preparing for a different circumstance. Practice and preparation are so important. If you had to write an article about a game you didn't watch, you wouldn't do as well as with the game you watched. So maybe that's a positive notion heading into this. They had a whole week to prepare, and they can game plan around it. I got to believe they're going to run the heck out of the ball, set him up and put him in better situations, and then hopefully, you know, he makes enough plays that they can pull this out.
Yeah, and I should ask some people in the locker room today. Because he used as an example, he said, hey, the first time, like, if you gave me this long play call, he goes, I wouldn't know it, right? Like, it took him a while to get the play call. So he goes, now, he goes, Stefanski, as he starts a call, I know what it's gonna how it's going to finish before he gets to the motions because he's so in tune with the game plan. Because he knew he was going to be the starter Tuesday, he started studying. When he got to practice Wednesday, he had the game plan down. Now, part of me says, well, shouldn't it be kind of like that every week? Like, aren't you part of this game plan, you know, even if you're not going to start? But maybe it's not. Maybe it's all focused on the starter and the backups just kind of read off their wristband, right? So, like, I think that's part of it. He said, you know, last time if I would have stood up here and talked to you guys, I wouldn't be able to answer your questions because I didn't know what I was doing. So I do think there is a big jump there. And he said it's going to be night and day, right? Like, that's his thing. It's going to be night and day. So I think there's that potential. I agree with you. They're going to run the ball. I think they're going to try to make it easier for him, right? It's all about good decisions. I think they want the ball out of his hands, get it out, because if you hold on to it, there's a chance to throw interceptions. There's a chance to be strip sacked by T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, which we've seen so many times. The Steelers don't have a great defense. Like, they're in the bottom, like, they're 25, 27, and 28, like, rushing, passing, and overall. Now, they get a bunch of turnovers, so that's the key, right? Like, don't turn it over and the Browns will be okay. But it's a lot to ask, especially for a guy that, threw three interceptions in this one chance.
Yeah. All right, Scott, three more things. We're running out of time. Yeah. So I think we go in this order. Let's just break down the Steelers quickly, give a prediction, and then give our thoughts on whether we think how the Browns can do the rest of the year and make the playoffs.
Hey, so can I give you one more? Like, do you feel – like, what do you think about – I mentioned Joe Flacco being part of this workout. Like, is there a guy out there, right? Like, Matt Ryan's in the TV booth, right? I mean, Tom Brady seems like a pipe dream. Nick Foles, who took the Eagles to that Super Bowl the one year that Carson Wentz got hurt, right? Like, these are some of the guys. RG3, I saw a podcast, RG3 is pleading to be the Browns quarterback. Like, would you want to go get one of those guys? Like, is there a guy out there that you think would be the guy to help them, like, make a playoff run?
I would say no to RG3.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time he played?
Oh, I'm going to look it up. He was a backup with the Ravens, so let me look up when that was. But go on.
Yeah, right, okay. In a heartbeat, I would give Flacco or Matt Ryan a chance without a doubt just to see if they still have it. Why not? What do you have to lose? We know. Now, I don't know if Matt Ryan, he didn't officially retire. Is the broadcast booth so comfy that he wouldn't want to come out of it?
Right.
But absolutely, I would give one of those guys a shot, because if it doesn't work, then you just go back to the two guys that you have. They're going to bring in – they want to have three guys in the room. I mean, right? Am I wrong?
No. And it was 2020 for RG3. He was with the Ravens. No, I completely agree.
That's my reason why.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. And even a guy like Flacco, even if he doesn't play, right, he's on the bench. He comes in if you need him, right? He helps the young guy, DTR. Like, to me, Matt Ryan is kind of the dream scenario. Now, I do think you have to worry, and Matt Ryan would not mess up chemistry because he's, like, one of the best guys ever, right? Like, that's everything you've ever heard about him, every dealing I've had with him. But I think that is a concern. Like, hey, this team is so close-knit that you don't want somebody messing it up. But it's also, you know, if you get a guy that's been to a Super Bowl, right? I think Matt Ryan was an MVP. Like, you know, Philip Rivers is another guy out there. You know, he seems too old. He hasn't played in a long time. Matt Ryan is the guy. Now, I have no idea if he wants to come out of the booth. Feels like something we would have heard by now. But, yeah, I just think that's worth keeping in mind because they are going to add a third guy, and that could change the dynamic.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Not saying that it would guarantee anything more than just a chance.
Yep. All right, now go back to what you were saying.
Yeah, so let's just break down the Steelers real quick. Obviously, we know, I mean, Browns fans know a ton about them, so it's not like you have to dissect too much. They beat us on Monday Night Football. I'll be the 1 millionth person to tell Browns fans that we're all trying to figure out how they're 6-3. Everyone says, hey, they're 6-3. We're not sure how, but they are. They find a way to get it done. They've been outgained, I think, in all 9 of their games this season. They've yet to gain 400 yards in any game. And I think I saw Kenny Pickett thrown one touchdown in his last 4 starts. How do they get it done?
It's a great question. You know, and I watched them beat the Packers. I went back and rewatched that game. And it's, you know, they ran it pretty well in that game. Pickett threw for like 124. You talk to the Browns, and the first thing they say is they're well coached. And I think that's a huge credit to Mike Tomlin. I think a lot of guys want to play for Mike Tomlin across the league. And it's legit. And that's why he's never had a losing season with the Steelers, because he is so good and he just wills guys to victory. That's what it feels like, wills his team to victory. But it certainly feels to me like smoke and mirrors. Now, they lead the league and they're tied for first in the league in turnover margin, which is huge. They're tied for the league lead with 18 takeaways. So that's making up for a bunch. It's making up for the poor defensive statistics. I think it's making up for the lack of an explosive offense. We know that Steelers fans hate their offense coordinator, Matt Canada. But they got a couple guys on the outside, right? George Pickens and Deontay Johnson. Like, they're legitimate receivers. They both get down the field. Acrobatic guys.
Good running games.
Yeah. They got a two-headed running thing with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren, right? And Warren's explosive.
They announced Warren as the starter now.
He started last week. Yeah, he started last week. But then Harris comes off the bench for 80-something. So, they have guys. Like, they have the guys, but they're just – I think it's the quarterback, right? The quarterback's not really explosive. He's not great. Now, I think they play better in the fourth quarter. They hang around games, you know, kind of ugly it up. But it feels like when you're outgained all the time and you're outscored, like, they're point differential, they got a negative point differential. Like, that usually catches up to you, right? So if the Browns had Deshaun Watson, I was going to pick the Browns to win huge in this game. Now that they don't, you have to recalibrate. But, like, I don't think the Steelers are on the level with the Ravens, Chiefs, Dolphins, you know, even with the Browns when they're healthy. And I didn't think the Bengals healthy. Like, I don't think the Steelers are there, but they do figure out a way to win. And that's a tribute to that.
Yeah, T.J. Watt, I mean, their defense is tough, no doubt. The turnovers you talked about. Real quick, how about that game last night? Boy, if Burrow's out, their Bengals are in major trouble. And even though the Browns can't get into first place right now, might not be the worst thing in the world to see the Bengals falter down to 5-5.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're right. Because I was thinking, okay, the Browns got a chance to be first in the division. But the Bengals are 5-5, and if Burrow misses any time, I think you can stick a fork in them. Their schedule might be the hardest in the league. It's like, there's no gimmies on that schedule. If you're the Browns going, okay, how do you get to 10 wins to get to the playoffs, right? Which I think is probably the correct attitude shift given the Watson injury. The Bengals not needing that game, the season finale, right? Like, the Bengals being out of it by then would be a huge advantage for the Browns. So, from a Browns perspective, it's okay. Obviously, you don't want to see Joe Burrow hurt. But right now, I would not predict the Bengals to make the playoffs, which is a huge change from 2 weeks ago and especially the start of the season.
Yeah, if you watched the first half last night, I think the Bengals could have won that game if Burrow didn't get hurt. But I could be wrong. And then Andrews got hurt for Baltimore. If he's out, man, that's a huge blow for them. So
yeah, Harbaugh said it's season ending. Well, they think it's season ending.
Big injuries. All right, do you want to get on to prediction?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go first.
All right.
And I'll tell you, I picked the Browns to lose in Pittsburgh. I'm going to pick the Browns to win this game, even with Watson out. I just have a feeling they're going to come together, kind of like they did when Chubb got hurt. They're going to remember that Monday night game. I think the defense is going to come through with the turnover that makes a difference. I think they'll get just enough running game. Now, obviously, I could be wrong if DTR just completely implodes and just makes so many mistakes they can't overcome it. So I'm not saying this is a guaranteed win by any means, right? Like, kind of like you said, if Watson was still there, you would have picked him to win big.
Right.
But I just think the Steelers are due to come down for a loss here on the road. I'm going to go Browns 20, Steelers 17, and pick a Browns win here, Scott.
Yeah, we're in the same ballpark, Chud. I feel like the defense, even though we just talked about how the Steelers have some players, I think the defense has a chance to shut them down. We saw it week one, right? Besides that Pickens slant and run, whatever it was, 71-yarder, they really handled them in Pittsburgh. I think the defense is going to be motivated from the win against Baltimore, the Watson injury, all of it. Jim Schwartz said the coordinator said he thought they took a big jump last week. He said you could feel the tenacity in the soul on the sideline, and you think that's going to carry forward from a defensive standpoint. So I think they have a great chance to play good defense. I think they can run the ball against Pittsburgh. Now you got quarterbacks got to make some throws, right? Like they're going to put, I would predict, expect the Steelers to put, 11 guys in the box and make DTR make some throws. But if he makes a couple, that might be enough. And we've seen the run game have success. Even when teams load up against it, it's going to be a challenge, but we've seen it. So I like the Browns. I'm not going to pick a big score. I'm going to go 17-14.
Yeah, so we're on the same page.
Yep.
The reason I went a little bit higher is because every time I pick lower, somehow they get higher.
And right.
Whether it's defensive touchdowns or, what happens. But I don't even think, even if the defense doesn't dominate, they find ways to still win games and make it look like they dominate, even when maybe they don't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I say, and the other thing too is being at home, I think the crowd's going to be a great advantage. And I also, I think Kevin Stefanski, I'm going to give him credit here. I think he finds a way to just to pull this one out with a good game plan and they get it done. And I hope when we talk on Monday, we're both proven right. And by the way, we're both 6-3. We already went over that on Monday.
Yep. No, you're right. I agree with all that, Chud. I think the reaction of the fans will be interesting. I think they were going to be out of their minds coming off that game in Baltimore. And now you have this letdown. I wonder if the fans are going to come with the same energy, right? And it's Pittsburgh. They're still 6-3. There's still a chance to go to the playoffs. So I think they will, but I think there's some human nature that, at least this feeling I get from people is there is a letdown, right? Because of the Watson thing. So, hey, before we go,
I think you are going to have you could have a letdown with the fans a little bit, but I think the fact that it's the Steelers, you still are 6-3, and also they've seen them win without Watson, so maybe they feel like they can do it again.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. So before we go, Chud, I think we do have to have a quick. Can they still get to the playoffs? Like, would you still predict that they go to the playoffs? In my mind, that means you got to get to 10 wins, right? You probably got to get to 10 wins.
Right, yeah. Well, their Super Bowl odds, you saw that I tweeted
the
other day. Their Super Bowl odds went from 28-1 to 50-1. Their conference odds went from 12-1 to 25-1. Their division odds went from plus 275, 11-4 to plus 550. And by the way, the line this week, they were favored by 3.5. Now the Steelers are the favorite right now, right?
It was picked them last time I looked, so it might have switched.
The favorite,
yeah.
I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it switched. So All right, so I think what goes out the window is winning the division. I don't think they can win the division now, especially with that huge win last night for Baltimore. I thought on Monday, I thought, hey, they could win this division. I still do think they can make the playoffs, and here's why. They've proven they can win games without Watson. They already have 6 wins. I feel like there's enough games on that schedule they can get to 10. You know, they do not have a demanding, brutal schedule. And because of that, and because of the defense, I still do believe that they can get to the playoffs. I do. I don't think they can go far in the playoffs. I don't envision Super Bowl, but I still think they can get to the playoffs. Thoughts?
I pretty much agree with all that, Chud. Now, who knows, right? Maybe they catch lightning in a bottle with DTR. Maybe they bring in a guy that, you know, they make it work. Whatever it is, right? You've seen crazier things, right? Kurt Warner comes off the – I mean, he wound up starting all year. But Nick Foles off the bench in Philly, like, that's the example because – it's relatively recent, 2007. Jim Schwartz, Rodney McLeod were there. But there's no way I can say, not having seen DTR since that October 1st game, say that he's going to lead them to any kind of a playoff run. Like, at some point, you match up against Tua and Mahomes and Lamar and Josh Allen maybe, right? Like, you run a gauntlet of quarterbacks, you're going to have to score a bunch of points. You're going to have to throw the ball great. But do I think they can win 4 games? Yeah, and if I picked them to win, beat the Steelers on Sunday – all you got to do is go 3-4 then, right, the rest of the year. And it doesn't seem impossible. It doesn't seem improbable to me, given the schedule. And that'd be a great story that they still get there losing all the guys they've lost, Chubb, Conklin, Deshaun Watson. I think they can do it. Right now, I would predict that they do it. I think the AFC is a little down, so I think 10 wins. It's more down than I thought. Like Buffalo, Cincinnati, right, aren't having the years that I thought. Record-wise. So I think 10 wins probably gets you in. And I think they can get to 10 wins. I think that would still be a great story. It would give, you know, Kevin Stefanski could sign an extension at any point because he's doing that kind of a job, if they wind up getting the 10 wins. And then who knows, right? Maybe they discover something in these last 8 games. That's a lot of season left, right? So maybe they come up with this formula and DTR is better than we thought or whatever that quarterback situation becomes. I think they have enough pieces, and I think their defense is good enough that they can still win some games. But they're all going to be tough, right? Like, they're not going to go into any game now favored by a ton. And they're going to have to play well. But, like, there's not the margin for error has been so reduced that they're going to have to play good week in and week out. And, you know, if they could win this week and go on the road and lose 2 in a row, right? And then you got to rally from that. So they're really going to have to – they're really going to have to show that resilience that they've shown all year.
So what do they have? 8 games left, right? So they need to go 4-4 to get to 10?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah, let's hope they can do it. Real quick, you brought up Josh Allen. I'll tell you what. I told you, didn't I tell you I had a bad feeling about the Bills this year?
Yeah, I almost texted you when I was watching that game the other day.
What is going on with them? That's another podcast.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. All right, bud. I think we hit it where we needed to hit, right? I got some trivia, but we don't have time for it. I got to remember to do that next week. So, I got some trivia from that fan on Twitter, which I really appreciate. So I think we hit what we needed to hit, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad we broke it up into two. Hey, let's go Browns. Let's get a win. Have a great weekend, everybody, for sure.
All right. Thank you, Chud. We'll all be watching Sunday. Big game. It's another big game, even with all this stuff going on. So thank you, Chud, as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.